just a bloke in a bar.
Actually, like, it's actually made it funnier because, like, Tom's now dead to us.
Mm. You know what I mean? Just completely replaced.
Like, he's literally dead.
Yeah.
Because Jarch, obviously, earlier. Yeah. And there's rave reviews, that too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm hearing rave reviews. I'm talking, is it? There's podcast awards that we've never been, you know, we should be awarded them. But podcast awards, I'm hearing Jarch and you are getting an award for that.
People want Tom replaced.
And now I'm here.
Now you're here. I know. We've had Jarch, Streety, and now yourself.
Like, if he stays in Fiji for a year, do you reckon people will just forget that he exists?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's that idea that if you get injured and the next kid up plays unbelievable, you know, Brady a game before the Super Bowl type situation, then it's all over for you.
Yeah, and look, I hate to say this, but Jarch did put in a Brady performance. Just a one. Like, he's not Brady, but if he keeps playing like this, I'm looking at Brady numbers.
Mate, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable, Jack Edward Archdale. We all know it. We all know it to be true.
What has we got to do to get Jarch to shave the beard? Like, how much do you reckon it would cost for that bloke to lose a push-up bar on his face?
Well, he doesn't have a chin.
That's what I mean. Like, it's the push-up bar on the face.
So it's literally his mouth and his neck are almost connected.
And that's coming from a bloke like, I don't have a chin of consequence at all. So I'm throwing stones in a glass house here. But what I want to know is I feel like Jarchy's beard is about 40% of his personality.
Yeah.
Like, so you reckon, tell me this, if he got rid of it, you reckon he's the same man?
No, he's not. He's a completely different person.
He walks down, hunched shoulders, head looking, he's looking at the ground all the time. He's never looking any bloke in the eyes.
He hasn't got his chest out. And yeah. I also would argue that his voice would get softer and higher.
And he would lose the country twang that he's putting on.
Pretends to be from the country.
Yeah, pretends.
Well, he is from the country, but he's putting on the voice.
Look.
Is that what you think?
He was born there for about 30 seconds and then he spent the rest of his life in the metropolitan area.
Drake, people...
I'm lost in the sauce. The Drake people, Kendrick, I'm lost.
People touching themselves to your rundown last week.
I'm lost in
it. It was seriously nerdy, your fucking breakdown of that thing.
Bro, I'm telling you this right now. I have been consumed by this beef. It's consumed my life. Like, I can't... There is so much content. I'm a pig at a trough.
How many times a day are you checking that content?
Look, any break I get, I'm hitting refresh.
Where are you looking for it? What's...
YouTube, because the algorithm's got me by the grips now.
Mm.
Like, because initially I was looking for it. Now the algorithm's got me by its grip. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I dipped my toe into the water and it sucked me into the pool and I'm getting spun around the Drake Kendrick war at the moment.
And just loving it.
And I'm actually liking it. Yeah, I'm liking the rough stuff.
Kendrick winning?
Look, it depends who you ask, but I think Kendrick's actually absolutely washing him. Watching him. Now, don't get me wrong. Drake's released good tracks that sound good, except for the last one, which was a really weird track. But Kendrick has just absolutely annihilated him on all fronts. He's released tracks that have been like artistically brilliant, like feel like a horror movie.
Mm.
Then he's released tracks that have been like lyrically like layers and layers and layers deep. And then he's released club bangers. And he's got four songs in the top 10 right now.
Four in the top 10.
Four in the top 10. And the most recent one, Not Like Us, that got released, broke streaming records for the most streamed in a day hip-hop song ever.
And they're all about the beef?
All about the beef. And they're all different too. Like, for example, there's one called Meet the Grahams. The fact that's in the top 10, it's how sick we are that we listen to that much. Because it's a letter to Drake's kids.
Meet the Grahams.
It's called Meet. So basically what happened is that Drake drops Family Matters.
Yep.
But before Drake dropped Family Matters, Kendrick dropped a snippet called 616. It's got all these different meanings, you know, everyone's like digging into it. And, you know, I'm sure Kendrick meant some of the meanings, but half of them I probably didn't. But in the rap that he released, it's just a little snippet. It's like he released it on Instagram, not YouTube, not on the DSPs or whatever the distribution, like for the songs, like Spotify and that. But in the song, he's saying, bro, don't take this any further because you have moles in your camp and basically I know all this stuff about you and you better not do it. So just saying, bro, don't do it. Anyway, so everyone's going, holy shit, this is like a movie. Drake drops Family Matters and it's a banger. Like, everyone's going, oh, Drake's done it. He's done it.
And so it's a track.
It's a track, and it's got beat switches. It's got, you know, it's nowhere near as lyrically deep as what Kendrick can do, but it's what Drake does best, and that's released catchy songs that sound good.
Yeah, the fucking people just want to get down to
it. So the internet's, you're reeling from that. You've just, anyway, 20 minutes, not even an hour. So
20 minutes.
Family Matters. So the song is called Family Matters from Drake.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, Kendrick drops Meet the Grahams because he knew he had a mole in Drake's camp. That so he knew he was going to drop Family Matters. He knew it was going to be in it. So he had a pre-recorded song all ready to go. 20 minutes later, boom, drops it. Completely smashes Drake's hype to bits. And it's the most...
Oh, who's the mole?
That's the thing.
Dude, that's...
And now they're trying to pick...
That's such a leg up.
That's a massive leg up. Now they're trying to pick apart the lyrics to see, like, is he subtly saying who the mole is? Anyway, so that happens... And everyone's reeling from it. But it's not a club banger, Meet the Grahams. It's like artistic and sick. Like it makes you feel sick.
Like a wordsmith.
No. It makes you feel like a horror movie. You're literally listening to a horror movie. So you're not sitting there going, yeah. You're sitting there going, what the fuck's happening? Anyway, so that happens. And so
the lyrics are so intense? Is that what you mean?
Because the sound, it's like a music sound, a movie soundtrack. It's like it's very haunting. You've got to listen to it to understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
The lyrics are so heavy. The lyrics are crazy heavy.
Yeah.
But it's the way it's all produced. It sounds like a horror film flicks audio. Anyway, so that happens. And the internet is just gone, wow, Kendrick has just stolen the moment, blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning, the next day or whatever, he drops a club banger going hard again at Drake. But that's the one knock that everyone's had against Kendrick is that, bro, yeah, we get it. Lyrical miracle. You're really good at rapping and, you know, which is what the essence of hip hop is, but whatever. But you don't drop club bangers like Drake. So he drops a banger that breaks all records for hip hop songs ever and is currently sitting at number one. It's one and two right now.
Is that where we've got to in this beef?
So there's a bit
or
more.
Has Drake come back?
So Drake came back. So he named the song in a genius way. So Kendrick has a series. Essentially, before every drop, he releases a song called The Heart Part 1. Then before a CD drop, an album drop, then there's a Heart Part 2. So he's all the way up to The Heart Part 5 that he did before his last album.
Yep.
So Drake drops a song called The Heart Part 6, which ruins his whole series now because he can't drop a song called The Heart Part 6. Anyway, but the song is like... real weirdo areas. Like, it is just, bro, like, almost like, what did you say? Like, really defensive. It's all defense. There's no attack in the Drake song.
Need a little offense.
You need all offense, especially in this. It's the whole song is just defense. And there's some really weird bars in it where you're going, what? Like one's like, you know, if I had done it, I would have been caught already. Like, stuff like that. And you're like, if you had done it, you would have been caught already. Like, that's not really how it works. It might continue now. And to make it even worse, Drake's house got shot up over the last few days and his security guard got shot. But
is it that sort of beef?
No, but that's the thing. It's not. Drake's
I didn't
Toronto.
Think those guys fucked that way.
Well, Kendrick is from Compton.
Yeah.
So he is from genuinely a street life. But the thing with Drake in Toronto, he has beef with people in Toronto. So I think it's more that.
Right, okay.
But it's just...
So his house in Toronto got shut up.
Got shut up and his security guard shut up. But a few weeks ago, Cash, XO, which is The Weeknd's label, and so The Weeknd and Drake have issues and they're beefing as well. So The Weeknd's manager, I'm pretty sure, his security guard got shot.
So Drake beefing with everyone, basically.
Drake beefs with... Like Drake, he's a cry bully. He literally throws subliminals, has a go at everyone, dogs everyone, and then sooks when everyone comes back at him.
Interesting. Yeah. Where does this rap beef sit in the
history?
The annals of
all time.
Beefs?
It's an all-timer. Now, obviously, Tupac, Biggie went way too far, but that's probably, you know, Nas, Jay-Z is another one. But this is because of the internet, the speed of it all.
Fully, exactly right.
You know, it's just crazy. Whereas you go like Nas and Jay-Z, like I think Nas waited like 4 months, 5 months to drop Ether, which is like considered the best, you know, diss track of all time.
So that's, as opposed to hours.
Whereas the difference with this beef is not only have you got the music side of things. You've got the internet meme side of things. So whilst the music's being dropped, you've got Drake releasing memes and putting stuff up on the, you know.
Memes are fun.
Memes are fun. They're fun. So look, I was like anyone, like I'm not the biggest, I used to listen to a lot of Drake. I don't really like him. Haven't liked him for about 3 or 4 years. But he's put up a good showing himself. Like the songs he's released, Push Ups and Family Matters, are good songs. Like they're good songs. The Heart Part 6 terrible. Like just so bad. So I'm so deep, bro. I can't get out.
They're gonna have to let you out,
mate. They are.
They're gonna have to let you out.
You know what? I need an algorithm refresh.
Because you on TikTok?
Nah, not on TikTok.
If you're on TikTok, yeah, it'll be all over.
Yeah, I don't.
Because the TikTok algorithm is fucking sensational in its ability to deliver what you are looking for or you've looked at recently. It's very good. There's obviously some hit and miss, obviously.
Yeah.
But as opposed to, for example, like the Facebook Reels, if you're on Facebook, the algorithm there is horseshit.
Yeah, algorithm on Facebook is a bit weird.
Like some of the stuff you get served up, I'm like, what in the fuck is this? Real bottom of the internet areas, Facebook.
TikTok's algorithm is the big dog in the house.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what built it.
So if you, 100%, that's exactly what built it. Yeah. But if you're on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm gone.
You're not Sydney today.
No. I'm back home going through the TikToks.
Your usage time, your screen times, what's it at? 16, 17, 18? You know what I'm
saying?
You're
just leaving it open. You know what? I'm carrying a battery around with me and I'm just leaving my screen
open. If you're on the talk, mate, you're putting in serious work.
Oh,
serious
man.
Work.
Now, everyone might be wondering what's going on right now. But
if you're on the tubes, you would be, yeah.
Yeah, on the tubes. We're currently in the Hello Sport headquarters. The Hello Sport cartel has been gracious enough to allow the DMP to be recorded in here because Maddie's, unfortunately, he's a bit crook, but he'll be all right. He'll be all right. So we're in the Hello Sport headquarters. And also, I'm auditioning to take Tom's job.
You are.
I'm auditioning, so hopefully let me know how I go.
Well, the cartel looks after its own.
It does. And our cartels have been, we've held peace for a long time now.
Yes.
We've held peace. I think it's everlasting peace, they reckon.
Well, given that we have combined, scissored in a way, that's the DMP. The DMP is basically a scissoring of two podcasts.
Yeah, that's
coming
that's
together.
Fair. You know what's the most successful merger of
all time.
Clubs? All time. You look at all the other mergers at the moment, really struggling.
Put it this way. One merger in particular struggling so badly, so horrific is the merger that they're now called the Dargans. They're called the Dargans now.
Bro, and you know how nice the Dargan feels to say?
Dude, I much prefer it.
I literally prefer saying Dargans then. And you know what? The name was already wishy-washy. We went over this.
It was a fucking mess,
the Dragon Slayers, St. George. Like, which one is it? Like, are you a dragon or did you get slayed?
Are you St. George? Are you St. George Illawarra? Are you a dragon slayer? Were you slayed by the dragon? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Dargans pop up and you start to think to yourself, you really do, you start thinking, oh, I prefer that.
Yeah, sounds
good. That actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. The Dargans, and you know what? To get the R back in the right spot, they got to win a premiership.
Have to win a cup.
They're playing for the R.
Yeah, 100%.
That should be on, like, when they do their team meeting before they run out, boys, we're playing for the R.
100%. It's like if two Glens come up against each other, then they steal each other's ends. It's two N Glens become three N Glens. We've been over this in the past. But much like that, the Dargans now have to win a comp if they want it back in the right spot.
I think that's fair. So it's official. The Dargans have to win a premiership to be known as the Dragons going forward.
100%.
That's stamped by Vlandys as well, allegedly.
Well, it is. And you can and I'll tell you how you can tell, because our good friends KO, shout out to them.
Yeah.
They...
Good friends KO, both of us.
Yeah.
Actually, tell you what, while we're here.
Oh.
Friday, Magic Round.
Yes. Well, we better fucking start promoting that. Next Friday, Punters and Dribblers, myself and Tom and dear friend Denon will be sitting down to do a live show at Caxton Brewing Co. for the Manly Broncos game. Tom and I obviously did it last year, and it was very well received, probably because we got pumped. And this year we thought, fuck, to make it even more fun.
Yeah. I was in the crowd last year.
Let's get the big fella on.
Yeah, okay.
Let's spice this up. Manly obviously going a lot better than we were last year. Broncos have lost Reynolds. It should theoretically be tighter, although the last 2 years have been fucking horrific.
And so. We're decimated by injury as well.
And you are decimated by injuries. So it should be a fun night out.
Hopefully we just beat you by 30 rather than 50. In the, like, you know, last year's has been 50?
Well, last year was like 32-6, dickhead. The year before that, it was 5. Was it 50 or 40-something?
It was like 50. I think it got to 50.
It was fucked. It was absolutely fucked. Thank God I wasn't there. I was at a wedding.
You know what? It was like nearly one of our last hurrahs that year as Broncos, because then we just went...
Yeah.
We used all our energy on that game and just died up in the ass.
Lot of shit. So Caxton Brewing Co.
7 p.m.
We're starting. We're not starting at 7 p.m. but get there at 7.
Get there at 7 and then we'll be hanging around a little bit after, I think.
Yeah.
Till like, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, make sure to be there. Come down, say hi. And then I've got a meet and greet myself, Rue, Timmy, Maddie, Hammy at 1 till 2 at the Caxton Hotel on Saturday. The boys, if they are free, they'll also be there. But I think
pending.
Pending. You know, look, when you're big swinging dicks, like, your time's not your own, Magic Round.
No, you don't. You have to hand yourself over to higher powers. And by higher powers, I mean people with money.
The corporates. Magic Round, you hand yourself over to the corporate.
You bend over for the corporate dollar. A big advocate of that. Always have been. Corporate knows that. Big corporate knows that. They know that they can have their way with me for the right price.
Obviously. You've got some standards.
I have standards. Yes. Yes, I do have standards, Denon. And I want that on the public record.
I'm just the same. Anyone that pretends they're in the rugby league content game and they don't like the corporate dollar are just kidding themselves.
Well, you're fucking lying. It doesn't just apply to the content world. We all like the dollar. We all like the dollar. You can just sub out corporate dollar for, I don't know, fucking homeowner dollar if you build houses,
yep.
You know?
Like, true.
No one hates the dollar. Everyone loves the dollar. Let's get real. Let's just get real with with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not tiptoe around.
Everyone's got a price. Everyone does.
So, and that's why we want to know, Jarchi, what's your price to get rid of the beard?
We should ask him.
What is the price?
He'd have one.
Could we?
Because everyone does.
Could we go fund me it?
We could say it's for charity.
Could we? Yeah. Charity? Merchant? Actually, you know what? I don't want to put that ethical.
Sell his beard.
I don't want to put that
ethical. Sell his beard.
I don't want to put the ethical or moral pressure of charity on Judge. So I retract that one.
Okay.
But I do want to put
I'm prepared to go that low.
Okay. I want to put the corporate dollar pressure on him though. Merch drop. We do a drop. Or Hellasport does a drop with Judge. And funds go to his therapy bill after he loses his beard.
So back-to-back merch drops. We did one recently before him getting knocked out on the shirt. Oh,
I remember that. Holy shit. Oh,
wow. Which you can't really get printed, punters and dribblers, if you did buy one.
Oh, but speaking of merch, bloke jerseys, they are now available on bloke.shop. And also...
Very nice.
Thank you. Appreciate
it.
I got
nice.
Some for you and Tommy. And I'll try and get some for the boys as well. There's literally... So I checked numbers before we got on the potty. There's 2 larges left. There's 2 2XLs left. And 13 3XLs left and 100XLs left. So if you want a large, a 2XL, or if you want any of them, you better get in before the end of the podcast. Matter of fact, by the time I finish speaking, like this podcast, they might be gone.
So the message is absolutely fucking worthless.
We'll just go and check because they could still be there. So go to bloke.shop, grab them before they're gone. As I said, we literally have 2 larges left and really, put it this way, extremely low numbers. In regards to the hats that went really quickly, sorry about that. We totally underestimated the demand. We're going to look at restocking more hats for you guys. So that's my bad. And also, bloke slides. We've got bloke slides at bloke.shop. Yeah. Basically, KO live show with Hello Sport, Friday, 7 p.m., Caxton Street Brewing Co. Then the meet and greet. And in the meet and greet, we're actually giving away, we're giving out heaps of bloke merch. Cool stuff that you can only get, not the merch, but they were giving something away that you can only get at the meet and greet. So make sure to get down because we're giving away free stuff. On the meet and greet for one and two at Caxton Hotel. Have you got anything else that you're doing that weekend?
We are going to be doing podcasts.
Oh, and also, good day.
Oh, yes.
Make sure to grab some good day, guys.
There you go.
It's literally a part of my life now. And I'm in my third or fourth rotation of subscription.
Look at that. See, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, punters and dribblers. We are still on pre-order. It will be back in a couple of weeks. So if you want to make sure that you're at the head of the queue, then I suggest pre-ordering.
Just subscribe. Dribblers. Seriously. And that's like not an ad, even though like I'm literally sitting in the belly of the beast. Just subscribe. Literally. makes your life way easier.
Love your work, brother.
And also, when you think about it, like, what is more valuable than your health? You tell me.
Well, put it this way. The first thing that you think of, let's say that you get a cold. All you can think about is getting rid of it. All you can think about.
I wish I had a better immune system to dominate this cold.
Oh, my, you know, I've got a fucking, my ear's blocked.
Mm.
All you can think about is unblocking your ear. Your health is your wealth, punters and dribblers. And if you're not healthy, it fucks you up mentally and physically.
To be honest, you could, look, this may be a look, it's your product, so you just correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost beta not to, because you're letting colds dominate your immune system. You're being dominated by a cold.
You're letting yourself get dominated by a foreign agent.
Like that's a dominant tackle by a flu.
Well, you put it this way. If you don't look after your immune system, you're a submissive. And that's fine. Obviously, there's people out there that like being subs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They like to be dominated by a foreign agent.
Yeah. But if you want to be that big dog in the room, then you need to have an immune system to match.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I can guarantee you 99% of people listening to this are deficient in some area.
That is true. And I'll tell you what else it helps you go to the bathroom. Like, it helps my routine with bathroom.
Yeah, that's a combination of two things, Dan. It's the magnesium, and then it's like it's your nervous system being more relaxed.
Oh, really?
So then you are more relaxed, and the magnesium helps speed things up.
That makes a lot of sense. Because like if I don't go to the bathroom when I wake up and I get in the car, I'll be like 50 minutes into the drive going, oh, I need to go to the bathroom, I'm dying. Mm. Whereas if I take my stuff and it just goes straight away, boom, all good, baby.
All good.
Cruise all the way to work.
Rock and roll, baby.
Make sure to grab some good day. Don't be a beta. Okay, Dave Fifita. David Fifita has, okay, this is interesting.
There's a bit going on here.
There's a bit going on. So the yarn is that Dave Fifita has said that he is not taking up his option. But Cam Smith brought up some good points on the captain's run yesterday that maybe it's the club that didn't agree to the option, because we haven't seen the Titans try at all to keep David Fifita. We haven't seen any kind of tension or news articles being dropped. And, you know, for example, when he went to Penrith or whatever and it was released that they had offered him a certain amount of money, technically I don't even think he should have been able to do that. Because he's contracted still, and he's supposed to be contracted for 2 more years, and he hasn't said whether he's taken up his option or not.
Yeah, so he should have decided on what he was doing with the option before.
If it was an option in his favour.
Yes.
And so I reckon the fact that he's apparently gone to Penrith, he's been given permission by the Titans, because otherwise he wouldn't have been allowed to.
That's very interesting. And you were saying in the green room as well, if you think about it... They're already paying $1 million for Tino.
More than a million.
Do you really want a bloke who's been coming off the bench on that sort of money when...
Under Des Hasler's reign, he's been coming off the bench.
When you've got a halves problem. Now, I know that there isn't a halves tree. Not that we're aware of. They're certainly not fucking running around wild and free, great quality halves. But at least if you've got the coin... You've got an opportunity.
You can try. Yeah.
Because otherwise you've got your fucking hands tied together, right?
Can't do anything.
Because you've got a big body up front. You've got Tino who fucking rips and tear. You've got AJ Brimson who's an incredible fullback. You just need a seven.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yep. And also Foran's probably retiring maybe this year or next year.
This year, you reckon? I think more likely this year than next.
Yeah, it looks like it's... because he's... How many games he missed this year? Three games? Not that many, but I think he's missed some games.
He's taken a lot of punishment.
Yeah.
He's 34 this year.
And he's put his body
through the ringer. Like early in his career, he used to get laid the fuck out fucking 10 times a game.
And he loved it.
No one would play deeper into the line. You could argue no one has.
Seriously, I wish the great McInnes was commentating when Foran was playing.
Yeah,
because he would call deep into the line better than anyone Foz Dog. Shout out Tom Cooper. Shout out. Is it Cooper on P's and D's? The guy that does the deep in the lawn.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shout out. So if you take the foreign contract, you take the Fifita contract. Because let's be real here, Titans are going to have to offer crazy overs to get a good half of the club.
Crazy overs.
Unless Ben Hunt.
Well, I'd heard a whisper on the winds, Denon, okay. Which is where I picked my whispers up from, that he was an option. He was a chance of going to the Titans.
Yeah.
He's back home. Well, he's not from the Gold Coast, as far as I'm aware, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah, yeah. He's Brisbane. From up north, but he's a Brizzy boy now, so. Yeah.
So he's in the area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense, especially for coin. Good coin.
If you want to get $1 million,
and they're on, they are on the improve. The Titans, like, they've had a fucking bad start to the season.
How crazy is it that, like, we're sitting here going, they're on the improve. They've won one game.
But don't you feel like they are?
Sure, 100%, 100%. But like, they've literally won one game.
No one in their right mind would shy away from the fact that the start to the season has been fucking diabolical. They were awful at the start,
bro,
of the year.
I honestly thought that they were a smoky, like, out of everything that you'd be like, whoa, this team made the top four. Like, we can't believe, like, Warriors Aries last year, Titans were mine this year.
Well, but you can see why, right? Like, on paper, they've got a pretty good side.
Great young forward pack. Got, Foran when he's injury free, Gunn. Tanner Boyd ended the year pretty well last year. Got, Gunn outside, but jeez. But they are on
Jaden Campbell, AJ Brimson, like, but then you've combined that with the fact that wherever Dez has gone the first couple of years, he's turned water into wine. So I think that informed people's decisions as well. But they fucking great shining it for themselves against the Storm last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't get the chockies, but you would think moving in the right direction.
I tell you what though, bloody, if you are Benny Hunt, what a good way to end your career. On the GC, $1 million a year.
Bruh. Listen, you have been to hell and back at the Dargans. To hell and back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got paid. You got remunerated, sure. But you still got to wade through the shit every week. No offense, but that's just been his reality. In some ways, it'd be a nice way to go, a nice way to retire.
Yeah.
A lot of hardworking Australians finish up on the
it's a beautiful place.
On the beautiful white sands of the Gold Coast, and I don't see any reason why Benny Hunt can't be that man.
Yep. I agree. And it's been a tough slog for Benny. Ooh, it's been a tough slog. The Dargans. I mean, in the last year that he's about to leave, they get a name change.
I know.
Maybe that's the last straw for him. He said, you know what? I can't play for a club that's literally changed its name.
Or he sniffs an opportunity legally to get out of a contract.
Well, yeah, because his contract would have been the Dragons. He's
Dargans.
Didn't sign with the Dargans.
Yeah, I didn't sign with the Dargans. I didn't sign with the Dargans at all. I don't know why I'm pulling on a Dargans jersey every week. What the fuck is this? Get me out of here.
So there's literally 30 players right now that legally could walk away from the Dragons.
Oh, yeah. I'm no lawyer, Denon, but that seems right to me.
It's on the money, I think. It's on the money. So Cam Smith brought up some good points. Like, maybe it's Desi that put in this. Because when they were renegotiating, as if Desi's letting this clause be put into a contract. Like, Desi's been around forever. He's got so much pull, so much clout. As if he's allowing Fifita to go, oh, yeah, bro, we'll give you $1 million a year, 2-year extension. Plus, you can have a clause that if you don't like it, you can just bounce. I actually think this might be the Titans that put the clause in. At the very least, a mutual clause. And they were looking at squad balance, and also Desi was looking at, okay, how am I going to use Fifita? Okay, I'll see how he goes the first 10 rounds of how I'm going to use him. And I don't think it's not suggesting that Fifita's not a gun player, more just does it fit Desi's system and what he wants to do with $1 million put into Fifita. So I think there's a chance it's actually the club that has pushed this situation, like pushed this on, rather than Fifita. Now, that's all speculation. It's all speculation.
Well, that's why you're here. Unadulterated speculation.
Pure unadulterated. And maybe you know what? The truth's somewhere in the middle. It was a mutual option. And both of them have got together and said, you know what? Fifita's gone in there and said, boys, we're 1 from 8. That's not great. And they've gone, you know what? You're on $1 million. You're coming off the bench.
Yeah.
That's not good for our salary cap.
No.
Let's separately go part our ways. Surely he ends up at Penrith.
Would it shock you, Denon, if the Roosters got him?
It would. If there's one club that can just pull a rabbit out of the hat, no pun intended, rabbits being their rivals. It's the Roosters.
It's the Roosters. I would be shocked if the Panthers don't get him just because of where they're at as a club. You know, the opportunity to go into that system,
oh, man,
to play you know, potentially outside of Nathan Cleary would just be that's fucking Christmas Day every day. Well,
and apparently Cleary's been speaking to him, said, "Mate, I want you."
Yeah. You just you're off your head, really, to be honest, if you're saying no to the Panthers. Oh, you're off your fucking guts.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get, what do you got up on the screen here? Reported to be a 3-year deal worth $850 a year. Huge money.
Like crazy like cash.
Fucking good money to go and just about be guaranteed to win a comp or two.
You're telling me they're not going to win a comp in the next 3 years?
They will. Yeah. I'm saying you can't say for sure, but you pretty much can.
Put it this way, they're the closest odds probably ever to win a comp in the next 3 years.
I mean, realistically, they probably win 5 or 6 in a row. If we've been fair income, they probably do. And if they're getting David Fifita, who you just know will dominate there. You just know it.
Oh, wow. Mate,
you just know it.
Imagine him with other, like, imagine him with the momentum that team gets. Like, he scores tries at the Titans by taking scoots. He literally goes, okay, nothing's doing. We can't score any points. He pushes the dummy half out of dummy half and just runs the ball hard at the line and gets over. Imagine him with momentum, what he's going to be able to do to teams.
He's a fucking handful, mate.
I tell you what, he'll probably score the most tries ever by a back row. Calling it now, if he goes to Panthers in that 3-year period, he'll have a record amount of tries scored in 1 year for a... Is it Menzies that has a record?
Yeah.
I reckon he has a record if he goes there and he plays on the edge at the Panthers, he breaks that record. Because he already nearly got close to the Titans. He got 17 1 year.
You may as well pack it up if he goes to the Panthers, which he almost certainly is. The only reason I say you can't rule out the Roosters is no one wines, dines, and 69s like the Roosters.
Not even close.
No one does it like them.
Nah. Their ability to wine and dine in 69, it's probably, like, if you're comparing salary caps, that should be an extra $2 million. Like, the impact that the wine and dine in 69 has.
Yes. Outside
of the money,
mm.
It is worth $2 million.
Yes. It's insane. It's absolutely fucking insane. They're the best in the business at it. When you heard Cheese say that he was at a Robbo's house and he's cooking up fucking pizzas in his pizza oven out the back on
probably
the deck.
Probably having wine.
Of course they're having wine, Denon. And then they go inside and undress. Like, it's a system that's just tried and tested. Mark Boris probably picks you up and takes you around the club, you know.
Colitis, he probably takes you in a helicopter.
Exactly. He's in charge of the paper bag, so... They've got a really nice system going on, so you can never really rule the Roosters out. But in terms of the money and the ability to win comps that Penrith are offering?
So look, I think it's looking... funnily enough, the Dargans were in the race, but they seem to have fallen off recently.
Ooh, good to go. Yes, just wait.
Oh, sorry. So I reckon...
Penrith. Let's be honest, though, if we can, just for a moment.
Yeah.
Were the Dargans in it? Just because you put your hands up and go, "We're keen," it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, I'm with you.
You might be in the race, so to speak, but you're not a chance of winning. So are you even really in it?
Yeah. 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 You're almost outside the club kind of thing going, like, I was there. It's like, bro, you were actually outside the club trying to get in.
You weren't in here.
Yeah, you weren't in the party. Whereas Roosters, they're wine and dining. Panthers, they're dancing. Titans, they're probably got, you know, oil on dancing as well.
Yeah.
And the Dargans are outside going, "Let us in."
Yeah. And no one's letting you in.
But then when the paper came the next day to ask them, I said, "Oh, yeah, I was there."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you weren't. You were in the vicinity, but you weren't in the party.
You weren't wine and dining.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And no, to be honest, you were giving everyone the ear. No offense.
Alrighty. Now there's we'll talk about Origin. Michael Maguire reportedly informed Jesse Ramien he's in the frame for Origin this year. The sixth spot is still up for debate. Moses, Luai, Hines, potentially Whiten in there. What do you reckon the hooker rotation will be? I said this yesterday on the captain's run, and this is pure whispers, guys. This is like I'm studying the wind, and I just. Like that. So that's how firm it is, which is not firm at all. I'm hearing McInnes either 14 or 9.
That's what you're hearing on the wins.
But I'm talking like really, like You know when there's a scene in a movie and it's supposed to be like all spiritual and in the background the audio is like, like in Lord of the Rings when he puts the ring on?
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do know what you're saying.
So you don't really know what's happening there, but there's some shit going on.
Yes, I do know what you're saying.
So that's the level of whispers I'm hearing about McInnes. Lord of the Rings levels, Frodo with the ring on.
But you can hear them.
I can hear them.
They're not necessarily that legible or audible or whatever the term I'm looking for is, but you know that they're out there. You can sort of make them out.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've deciphered. Can McInnes, Frodo,
I mean, listen, if you're Michael Maguire, Madge, as he's affectionately known, you've walked into a very tricky situation.
Oh my God, it's so tricky.
You've worked into a very, very tricky situation whereby there's injuries, we don't have a definitive six, the hooker rotation, do we do it, do we not, do you just go for an out-and-out 14 that can play all over the park, do you go a 9 and a 14 and then a 14 arguably playing as a 15. It's just so fucked. And then all the time you've got bush poet Billy Slater over there just calm as a fucking cucumber.
You know what? Maybe it's bush poet Billy whispering in my ears right now.
Maybe it is. Maybe. You've got powerful friends. I don't know. You've got that, and then you've also got what seems to be a pretty settled side that's just got a taste for winning.
Mm.
You know, your hardest selection decision, Reece Walsh or Calen Ponga, has been solved for you, so it's not even a headache for him anymore. Whereas we have got no fucking Jesse Ramian getting. Where's this come from? No disrespect to Jesse Ramian, but that's left field as fuck.
Well, if there was an injury, I could see it, because I actually think Jesse Ramian's a gun and he's severely underrated. But when you've got throbbers like Crichton, Tom Trbojevic that can play centre.
Latrell Mitchell.
Trelly Mitt. That surprised me a little bit. But I will say this. With the whispers sound like they're around toughness. Toughness. And so I actually don't mind. Okay, think about this. Let's say he makes all of these, like, instead of picking, like, all the superstars, because, like, the New South Wales selection process
has always been superstars. Heavy. Yeah, and it's got us nowhere. Really.
It's like, let's just get fucking superstars. Imagine he goes into Origin with a bunch of battlers. Guess what you look like? No disrespect, but you look like the Queensland underdogs with a bunch of battlers.
Yes, you do.
And so, like, maybe he goes
but it's
in...
It's a
risk.
It's a risk.
Oh, mate, I don't know what you do. I don't know what the answer is. What I'm saying is if you do go in with a few battlers, the yarn can be we're the battlers now. We're the underdogs. You can create that yarn. Whereas before, you never could create that yarn. Because it's like, what are you talking about? Mm. Like, this isn't a battler side. This is a superstar side. Whereas you look at the Queensland side, it's like, yeah, the underdogs, the battlers, you know, rah, rah. So I don't know. Maybe that's the yarn he's going with.
But he would need to leave out. Unless Madge is going to go, let's put Turbo to fullback, drop Tedesco, then there's a centre spot's popped up, keep Critter on the wing.
Well, this is what I'm hearing. Critter on the wing. This is what I'm hearing in regards to, like, again, whispers, Lord of the Rings, Frodo, ring on, whispers. I'm hearing Tommy Turbo at centre, Critter on his wing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing Burton as the other centre with To'o as his wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm hearing Dylan Edwards at the back.
That's what you're hearing.
Yeah.
I love Matt Burton. Think he's fantastic. He's obviously got that left foot as well. That
played
left
well
foot
when he played centre.
And he played well when he played centre. Might have got man of the match, maybe. Can't remember.
Maybe.
He played had well. A fucking, he had a day out, though.
Big bomb, so he adds a point of difference too.
Huge bomb. Mm. Huge bomb. Dylan Edwards, I'm starting to hear more and more at fullback.
I'm warming real, real.
I'm hearing that a lot. I'm warming. Because you know it'd do a job for the state. You just know it.
And also, he fits the battler tag.
He does fit the battler tag.
So the yarn's there for you.
That's a more battly side.
Yeah.
You know who's the six?
I don't know about that. The six, Moses. But that is, again, this is all just absolute dribble whispers. Cleary, Moses. But I don't know when Moses gets back.
Week before. I believe.
If he can get back a week earlier to give me two games, then I'll be like, yeah.
I think it's one game before selection. I could be wrong. Mm. I was talking to
Hamish. He'll be in the squad. He'll be in the
yeah,
squad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, mate, he was good last year.
So, 100%. So, you reckon, let's say he comes back and kills it. Do you reckon they just go, you know what, 80 minutes, he played, Louis looks fit, all good, get him in? Hines has been ripping.
Moses back round 11, by the way.
Okay.
But when do they select?
I think it's either after 12 or after 13. I'll check.
Let me just
check.
It's
in 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure.
Let me just check. So he's back round 11, which is next week, which is the 17th. Then you've got the 20. So he would have two games. If he's back round 11, he's got round 11 and round 12.
So I reckon you carry Hines, Moses in the squad. So you get that one game. You bring him in anyway. And then you see how he goes. Actually, no, because he can play two games.
So he'll be playing the Storm away. Oh, no, Storm at Suncorp for Magic Round. And then he's got Rabbits
at a core. But if he's in camp, he won't play, though.
No, because camp starts round 13. Round 13, camp starts.
Oh, okay, so he gets two games before camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's plenty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I'll cop two games.
And you get the Storm at Suncorp. Magic round. Like if he goes out there and rips, you start thinking long and hard because he was there last year.
Yep. It's
done
an interesting one, isn't it? Because like you go, you know, he has paired with Cleary, and also he didn't actually play that bad when he played, especially his first series. Luai was outstanding in that. Like I have to remember, he was a part of a record win for New South Wales. Like that was his debut series, him and Toto. So I agree with you that it's the noise sounds like it's a Moses Hines game. But
so I if you asked me a couple of months ago, I thought Luai would probably get picked again.
Yeah,
but okay. now that the having listened to the noise, yep. the
fallen kings of Lord of the Rings.
That's exactly right. They'd become damned in some way.
Yeah, what were they called again? What were they called? The Lord of the Rings wraiths.
Wraiths.
Were they called the Wraiths? And they were fallen human kings of...
Weren't they kings that had gone mad with power because they had the rings on? Because all the kings were given a ring.
They were tainted.
Yes, yes.
So that's where we're hearing the whispers from.
That's exactly
right.
So
very hard to believe what they say. Are they Queenslanders or New South Welshmen? We don't know.
You don't know for sure. And what we do know is that those whispers are not very loud in terms of Luai. In fact, Luai's not getting really any whispers at all.
Yeah. Which would be interesting though, because if are they trying to throw us off the scent of Luai?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think this is your classic Luai not getting picked. I could be wrong. Hooker rotation, Appy to start, Reece Robson off the bench.
See, I'm hearing McInnes at 14 or 9.
McInnes to start.
I've actually then heard,
Appy off the bench.
I haven't heard who the 14 is going to be. So what I've heard is McInnes either 9 or 14.
But will we do the hooker rotation? Will we do that?
This is what I would do right now. If I was selecting the side right now, Moses isn't back yet. It would be Reece Robson to start.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Hines, Cleary. I'm getting and closer, but you know what? Edwards at the fullback, Tommy in the centers, Critter as one center, and then I would have To'o and Suoli'i on the wings.
It's not bad.
That's what I'd have at the back line. Forward rotation. Haas, Barnett probably right now. Haas, Barnett. Probably Junior. Maybe Terrell May off the bench. I'm probably forgetting someone. This is just off the dome.
Back rowers.
AC. At the moment, if Angus Crichton keeps playing the way he is, I'd have Martin, Angus Crichton.
And Yeo, it's 13.
I would have had Cam Murray, but Yeo at 13 now.
Yep.
And on the bench, I'd definitely have Olakau'atu. Olakau'atu's making my 17.
Thoroughbred.
Even if he's not playing on edge and I'm bringing him as a front rower,
yep.
I'm giving him 20 minutes of the best and saying, brah, don't even think about offloading or anything like that. I just want you to run as hard as you can.
Get out there and fucking rip in.
Yeah,
and like rip throats out of necks.
20 minutes, bro, of the hardest footy you've ever played. I want them to be scared of you.
Yep.
That's what I'd be doing. So your bench would probably, my bench would probably be 14. Now, here's a smoky for 14. Connor Watson.
I love Connor Watson. And he can play everywhere.
Everywhere. Now, probably it's going to be between Connor Watson, McInnes, or an actual 14 hooker like Appy on the bench. But I think Connor Watson, he's been outstanding this year for the Roosters.
The last month, he's been fucking terrific.
Hot too.
He's extremely fuckable.
Imagine him in the sky blue.
Mate.
With the pirate hair.
Mate, it's game over.
It is game over. And game also over.
You can kill a side with hotness as well.
And honestly, if I'm being super honest, can we be honest for a sec?
I'd like to be honest. Okay. I've assumed we've been honest to this point, like, but I'd like that to continue.
I feel like last year we out-hotted you with Reece Walsh, I just gotta say.
You did. Yeah, well you did. And he played hot footy.
He played hot.
And he played really hot footy. The thing with Connor Watson is he can literally play all over the park.
He's the perfect 14. Like, you couldn't find a better 14.
Would you play Jakey Trbojevic because of his minutes? Well, he has the ability to play big minutes.
You know what? There's a chance that I would... Could you start him and Haas and you bring Barnett off the bench maybe?
Yeah, you could. That's what they usually do.
The only thing with Jakey, though, is that if I'm picking him, to play big minutes because that's what his game is. Is accruing.
But he plays huge. He can play huge minutes.
Whereas, like, I'm not picking him for like impact off the bench.
No. You'd play him. You'd start him, and he'd play huge minutes. But if you're talking about the Dogs,
which
is the Doug of old dogs.
Yeah.
And if you want to go out there and go, listen, the age of the superstar is behind us.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're moving.
It's the age of the dog.
And we're moving to the age of the dog. Like, if you're playing Cameron McInnes, then you're playing Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah, you know
in
what?
In my opinion.
Maybe Cam McInnes' rough head counteracts Reece Walsh's hotness.
Well, they're at complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
Cameron McInnes, he's been bashed up. His face is pretty fucking horrific in the best possible way.
In a complimentary, like,
the bloke's missing teeth.
It's like he's a veteran of the tough stuff.
Like, you look at him and you go, that bloke doesn't play in a mouth guard. How could he? He's got no teeth left. He's tough as old boots.
And tough, that's what Origin boots is about.
It is. It's about being tough as old boots.
Yeah, okay.
So, I hope that helps, Madge. I hope that helps.
I think we've gotten closer to the truth after all that chat.
The thing is, I'll read the side and I'll be like, there'll be elements of me being disappointed in there. I never love it.
I rarely
love it.
You know what is different this year? They're scrapping the Coogee tradition. They're going out in the bloody Blue Mountains, mate, for the camp.
Madge is getting rid of it.
Getting rid of Coogee?
Well, because we got rid of Coogee briefly when we went to Coffs Harbour.
Well, they're going deep.
He's going into the mountains.
Going into the mountains. So we're talking like Karate Kid kind of stuff.
Up into the hills.
Blue Mountains.
Get fucked.
Yeah, like salt of the earth kind of stuff. So I think he's going the battler. He's going the battler underdog route.
Yeah, there's battlers up there. Oh, mountain
Blue
folk.
Mountain, are you serious?
Mountain folk battle, dude.
Mate, it's probably minus 10
Is that what he's doing? Yeah. Where are they going to set up camp?
I'm
up
not
there?
Sure, but he's going Blue Mountains. He's going deep. He's going deep.
Wow. And so, mountain folk.
Oh, that's why I think age of the superstar for the Blues, it's over.
Well, listen, if you're going into camp for boxing, what do? You get up into the mountains.
Go to the mountains. It's the air's a bit thinner there, a bit harder to breathe, a bit tougher.
Oh, you got to be tough to play.
Like, country, look, let's be real. Country folk are tougher than city folk. It's just the way it is.
Listen, I would have preferred if they went over the mountains into the central west. That's a preference of mine. But
maybe a few day trips out there.
Yeah. You got to cross the Great Dividing Range, get out to where the real people live.
I tell you what, maybe each year he just edges further out into the country until he's in the middle of this, like, the whole country of Australia. Yeah.
Well, no, you wouldn't live in you'd never leave the great state of New South Wales. But you go to Broken Hill, you're still there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
I like hearing that they're going up into the mountains.
You know what? It's very Queensland-esque.
Because Coogee, as much as it's been there and a part of New South Wales,
it's too hot.
You've got to be really hot there.
Yeah.
Cameron McInnes can't go to Coogee and
feel uncomfortable.
Of course he would.
Oh, really?
You know how many looks he'd get?
That's Reece Walsh areas. You're almost coming into Walsh's den.
Yeah. Come up into the mountains. People look a bit fucking weirder up there.
Yeah, and you reckon Reece Walsh feeling comfortable Blue Mountains?
No.
No way. He's not country.
But you come down having trained at altitude.
Yep. There's that one.
You've been around the people, or at least mountain folk, who do it a bit tougher.
True blue, Blue Mountains.
True blue. Well, okay, but think about this.
Blue.
You're in the blue.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Mountains.
It's the connections there.
It is there.
It's like the vibe, the omenry is all there.
Oh, it's. I mean, listen, on a clear day, you look out, you look west. What do you see? You see mountains that are blue. They're blue mountains.
Sky also allegedly blue as well.
Not allegedly, it is.
Okay.
So you're training under a blue sky in the blue mountains.
Yeah, I like that. You know what?
With Blue Mountain folk around you.
Age of the superstar is over.
It's the age of the dog. The blue healer. We need blue healers up there.
Bluey's up there.
You know, and heaps of red nut looking on.
Bluey's up in blue heaven. It's probably the Blue Mountains that's Bluey's heaven. Because dogs love running around bloody mountains and that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Of course they do.
That's doggy heaven up
there. That's 100%. Age of the dog. Age of the dog. So does that mean if it's age of the dog, Latrell Mitchell not getting picked?
But he's got dog in him.
Yes, he does have dog in him. But he's a superstar.
Does his superstar outweigh his dog? I don't know. That's a tough one. But you know what? Maybe the Blue Mountains will bring the dog out
in him,
because he's one of the rare players that have both.
He's also never lost a series.
Look, Origin Trail's a different beast, and I won't hear any otherwise. Like, I know they had that one game in fucking 2018 or whatever, but I'm sorry, most of your team played poor that game. Outside of that, he has freaking dominated Origin.
Dominated. It's been completely unfair. Could you then, if you're playing Latrell in the centres and you got Kuda and To'o on the wings, could you put Burton at 14? He's pretty versatile.
Yeah, I don't mind that. What I do like about Connor, though, is like he genuinely, or Connor or McInnes, they genuinely like cover pretty much everywhere. Mm. And also, they're tackling machines. Whereas like Birdo, he's not necessarily, like he's a silky kind of, he obviously can get through his work. He's tough.
Mm.
But he's not making 50 tackles a game. Whereas Cam McInnes, that's a light work for him.
50 tackles. 50? Mate, that's a fucking jog around the block.
Like, honestly, I reckon if he gets...
He could make 80 Origin tackles, no problem.
That's what I reckon at half-time, his numbers, minimum, if he doesn't walk in and the stats guy walks over and goes, you've only made 38 tackles at half-time, he might get dropped.
Well, he'd drop himself.
Yeah. Go to the coach.
He'd drop himself because he holds himself to a higher standard than
that. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
You know he does.
Yeah, mate. He does. He does. So, look, there you go, Madge. It's all laid out for you, buddy. It's all laid out for you.
That was pretty easy, mate.
That was pretty easy. We got to it towards the end. Actually, I've got to ask you. I don't know why yous do it. And I have to say yous. I have to lump yous all in together. You know why? Because it happens every year. There's already yarns about New South Wales going 3-0 from some people in the media.
New South Wales winning 3-0?
Yeah.
By our media?
Yes.
They...
Why?
Because I think sometimes that they like to capitalise on Origin hype as opposed to what's best for the state and what's best for the team.
The corporate dollar.
In a sense, yeah. I mean, journos are beholden to clicks. They just are. That's the currency.
That's an ex-player that said it as well.
It's the currency in which they trade. An ex-player that played for the Blues?
Benny Elias.
Yeah, but Benny Elias is just like, he just bleeds blue, right?
He bleeds blue. So it's a passion.
That's different. Okay. As opposed to a journo. If you're an ex-player, they'll all say 3-0 most of them.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't you think?
Look, his reasoning was, you know, he thinks...
Like, put it this way. If you ask an ex-cricketer, what do you reckon the score in the Ashes will be, they all say 5-0.
See, when I speak to Queenslanders, they don't go, yeah, we're winning 3-0.
You said it just before that you reckon you'll win. Fuck off. You said it, and now the camera's on, you fucking changed your mind. Fuck off. That's what you cunts are all like. You'll fucking whisper it behind the media's back, but you try to be gentleman in front of the camera. It's bullshit.
Mate.
No, so I'm calling you out on it, cunt.
No.
Yeah.
Mate, I've never had
a chat. Yes, you did. You said before you'll spank it.
I'm not an ex-Queenslander, though. Like, as in, I didn't play for the Queensland.
Yeah, but you pretend. You reckon you did in fucking under-10s or something?
Yeah, 19s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You never shut up about that.
I'm just saying that, like, surely you're coming into this one going, send out a memo to all New South Wales.
Cunt, if you think it's going to be 3-0, you're off your head. That's what I'd say. It's not going to be 3-0. We're going to win the first game at home. That's what we need to win. Mm. Focus on that. Winning game one. That's what we need to win. We're not going to win game three at Suncorp.
So that's passion from an ex-player, which is understandable.
I think that's just straight up passion.
That's blue passion. Okay.
We haven't won a game three in Queensland since fucking who knows when. We've got to win the first two games, and then we can maybe go up there and sweep you. But
I tell you what, unlikely. Madge sweeps.
Very unlikely.
He might be a god in New South Wales if he sweeps.
If Madge sweeps, Nathan Cleary needs to start getting into Joey areas.
Oh, that is so true. Because then you're like, obviously,
if he starts playing 05 Joey areas, like, obviously, I don't expect that game to ever be topped, but
yeah,
all those two games, but that sort of area, then we're going to be in a much better position.
Well, he would have won four series then at 26.
But I'm talking about dominating a game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because your team's way better now.
Yeah. Way better as in better than the 2020. What do you mean?
So Queensland side.
Oh yeah, we've got a few injuries.
But you've got a better side than you have
in the last few years.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair. That's fair. Like Tino Gilbert.
The 2020 side that beat us was not great.
Yeah, you look.
But that was also a fucking bed shit from us.
There's a massive bed shit. Because you know what's crazy is you literally smacked us from pillar to post in game two like by 40 points.
It was one of the biggest bed shits I've ever had the fucking, what's the honor, opposite of honor? What's the opposite of the? It was one of the worst experiences of my life. that game three.
Was that Kill the Stream? That wasn't Kill the Stream, was it?
When Munster just shit down our throats, Masood style. Awful. Fucking awful.
Oh, that's great stuff. That's great stuff. All right, let's get into some tips. Oh, shit.
But so, what do you reckon it'll be, what, 2-1 New South Wales?
Mate, I reckon it's going to be a fucking, like...
It'll be a tight series.
Because what surely. It'll be a tight series, but also, like... There probably isn't going to be a punch on because it's like too professional these days, even though there was a couple of years ago. But when I feel like when it starts ramping up and after game one, there's a bit of niggle, a bit of push and shove.
Mm.
You just know Madge is going to get into the change room and that week's coming in, ramping the boys up, going game two when we go up to Suncorp. So I just think it's going to be one of the most like vitriolic, spiteful series we've seen in a very long time.
Which I'm frothing for.
Which I'm all about. And like, look, Billy the Bush Poet, you know, he waxes lyrical. We love that, but he's a dog. He's a fucking dog.
Yeah. No, I know that.
You know, we love that he waxes lyrical. I love that. It gets me inspired, tingles, goosebumps, all that. He's a dog.
I want to see a couple of a bit of passion out of the boys. I wouldn't mind. I also wouldn't hate this as well. And I think it'd just be good for Origin generally is just come out and start saying some shit about each other.
Yeah, like
you know, like stop being stuff. Fucking so bloody respectful.
Yeah,
like talk a bit of shit,
bit of UFC stuff.
Yeah,
pre-fight kind of just talking it up.
Yeah,
yep. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. Alrighty, Dolphins v Manly. Dolphins paying 210, Manly 174. What are you doing here?
Manly win and win well. I will say this as a Manly fan.
What happened?
That's just like it. Just that's, mate. Early in the second half, I knew we'd lose. It's yeah, just
you
there's
feel it.
There's just something that all Manly fans would know it. It's just like you can sense it. You're like, oh, okay, like the tide's turned. We will be caught with our pants down yeah. here. We will
like
lose.
Like the Cowboys a few years ago.
We will lose this unlosable game, like that Cowboys game. Yeah. That one was even more surprising than most, given it was like fucking 20 points up with 5 minutes to play, whatever it was. But I would be more worried about this game if we'd won last week and won well. But because yeah, we got embarrassed, I'm like, there's just no way.
They'll bounce back. There's just no way. I reckon Manly are going to have they're going to have a massive game because...
I think the 2.5-point line, given what happened last week, is you gobble that up.
But also, like, if Manly continue to play like this, up, down, up, down, up, down, they'll get the Pretenders badge.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know you can play good, but you're too consistent, so you're just Pretenders, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you have developed a reputation for getting big leads and letting them just come all the way back.
I think there's like four. It's like Eels, Warriors, obviously Raiders, and there's one more where he's had a big lead. Eels. There's one more. And this is the year where you were like up by 12 or more points, or like maybe even 16 or more.
I'm trying to think of who that was.
Oh, man. Anyway. But yeah, I'm going Manly. I think Manly have a massive game. A massive game. Penny Panthers, $1.15. The Bulldogs, $5.50.
I think the Panthers will win, but I think
it's line like 15 points.
I like Dogs plus 15.5. Yeah. I think that it'll be... It's supposed to be wet, Denon.
Okay.
And I think that the Dogs will be looking at this like this is an opportunity to try and show that we've come a long way.
Yeah, okay.
You got a lot of boys there at the Dogs who used to play at the Panthers. They want to have a good game.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Or do you think they'll get spanked?
No, I think they might hang in there for like a bit of the game, but I think eventually probably Panthers
just roll
12 to 14.
Lay it on thick. Like.
Yeah, I reckon. Probably. Eels, $3.20. Broncos, $1.35.
I think Broncos pound the Eels.
Even without Reno?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay.
I think they go out there and fucking put a big score on.
Get into their work?
I reckon so. Yep. I reckon it, mate, I don't mind that Ezra's running the boys around. I like that.
Yeah, his kicking game, Reynolds' kicking game is so hectic.
Yeah, it is.
So hectic.
But the Eels without Gutho and without Moses, they're all at sea.
Tigers Knights.
I actually find this sort of difficult to get a read on. I'm going to go the Knights just because of their recent form.
I really like what they did yesterday, the Knights. I really like what they did. Not yesterday, on the weekend. The Dragons. Oh, man, am I going to get sued for saying Dragons?
You will, dude. It's actually the Dragons, and you know better than that.
Okay, the Dragons versus South Sydney Rabbitohs.
I think the Rabbitohs will win.
You reckon Trelly get the boys up?
I think Trelly gets the boys up. Dragons as well, if they're supposed to win, they won't. You know what I mean? They upset sides and stuff, but I don't think they're
playing for their R.
Yeah, they got to win the comp to get their R. Are they really playing for their R, Dan? I actually think Bunnies will win.
Okay.
I think it's time for the Bunnies.
Dragons. Storm versus Sharks.
Storm at home. Storm.
I'm going Sharkies.
Really?
I reckon this is like a grand final for them.
But it's in Melbourne. They just have a weird knack of winning games down there, bro.
But Sharkies, if they go out down and get pumped, everyone's going to say the same thing. See, can't beat top-tier sides. So I reckon Fitchie's just like, this is a grand final for us boys. We need to beat it. At least, if we don't beat them, get close, you know?
Yeah. I see. I think Storm win by 4-6.
Okay. Roosters, Warriors. What happened to the Warriors?
Mate, three on the trot. Dragons, Titans, and...
Not even hectic teams.
Knights. That's not good enough.
Nope.
They were a top four side. This is our year, sort of up the wires.
Mate, I am as a premiership threat early in the year.
Yeah, mate. The wheels have fallen the fuck off.
Holy.
I reckon they've caught the Roosters at the wrong time here.
Roosters are looking horny.
Roosters are looking really nice.
Yeah.
They're at home. I just think they fucking dust the Warriors. Everyone's going, mate, Warriors, they'll turn it around eventually. I don't know. I reckon this is a bad time to get the Roosters.
Okay. Titans, Cowboys.
Titans.
This one's hard.
I like the Titans. I really do.
I'm going Cowboys, but I got no faith.
That was the weakest tip.
Well, I got no faith.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
If you don't have faith, go the Titans.
But I don't have faith in Titans either.
I do. Desi got the boys up.
Okay. Alrighty, guys. Make sure, don't forget, we'll be doing a live show. Hello Sport and myself, a live show Friday, Caxton Street Brewing Co. Caxton Brewing Co. On Caxton Street, 7 p.m. We're basically doing a footy companion for Broncos v Manly.
Yep.
Manly v Broncos. Then meet and greet the next day from 1 till 2. Guru, Timmy, Hammy, Maddie will be there. And then maybe the boys, if they don't have anything on between that time, make sure to grab a jersey, make sure to grab some good day, and we'll go and fuck ourselves. Thank you.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.